The Blair Witch Project was a huge success, even though it was made for only $30,000 and it was made by and starred unknowns. Its success was attributed in part to an innovative internet marketing campaign. Now comes the sequel, Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2. Henry Sheehan has a review.
Whether it scared you or not, the original Blair Witch Project was an effective spoof of independent filmmaking. Daniel Myrick and Eduardo Sanchez, the film's directors, were headed into their late 30s down in Florida without having broken into the mainstream. No doubt the sight of young film school grads turning cheaply made videos into Hollywood contracts galled them no end. It's not a big step from there to imagining Blair Witch's plot, in which a trio of the little monsters are hoisted by their own petards during a poorly thought out and casually shot school project. Dismayingly, Book of Shadows looks a lot like the film the three young filmmakers would have made if they had survived their ordeal in the woods and capitalized on it with a filmmaking deal. All the compromises Hollywood demands are there from the start. A pretty cast instead of a talented one, banal depictions of evil instead of subtle, not so subtle, suggestions of it, titillation instead of chills. Book of Shadows picks up a few months after Blair Witch ends. It goes along with the myth that the movie was found documentary footage, and now the woods outside of Burkittsville, Maryland, where the mysterious disappearances occurred, have become a tourist mecca. We go along with a local tour guide and four curious young people who follow the footsteps of the doomed originals. And in one of those stupefying moves we've come to love from studio executives, documentary maker Joe Berlinger was hired to direct the film. Berlinger's documentaries are fine, and his Paradise Lost, The Child Murders at Robin Hood Hills, deals with adolescent dabbling in the occult. But he's apparently wholly unprepared for the demands of feature filmmaking in general, and horror filmmaking in particular. Here, for example, is one of the nearly endless scenes in which he introduces his five main cast members. He doesn't depict them performing characteristic actions, but has them sit down together and introduce themselves and their quaint little beliefs to one another.
Erica, people fear what they don't understand. You gotta realize that.
People think that I drink blood, that I sacrifice children, that I worship the devil just because I'm a Wiccan.
Hey, look, where I come from, people think that because I dress in black that I'm some kind of sick killer or something.
I know, I don't even believe in the devil, okay? That's a Christian concept.
I
believe in nature.
I hate nature.
Like a walking corpse, the movie boasts several fatal wounds, and you've just gotten a taste of one of them. You not only don't care that these people's lives are at stake, you positively relish the anticipation of seeing these obnoxious young narcissists get theirs. But even on that score, the movie disappoints. Some of the cast survives. The most boneheaded move, though, comes courtesy of Berlinger and Dick Beebe, who wrote the screenplay. After an opening sojourn in the woods, the filmmakers transport their characters to a whole other setting, an abandoned factory stocked with technically advanced video gear. The place is owned by Jeff, the young tour guide, who we're told has just gotten out of the loony bin and is only scraping by financially. So it's a bit of a shock to see him in possession of a large brick building and, all told, about $200,000 worth of video equipment. But the real problem with Jeff's digs are their sheer unfamiliarity. The movie has put us in such a strange place that strange actions aren't particularly jarring. The single brilliant stroke of the first movie was to realize that a forest is both familiar and strange, warming by day and chilling by night. Jeff's place looks like a high school gym turned into a Halloween haunted house. The horror film is in appalling shape these days. Thanks to the Scream movies, it's now the province of geeks and smart alecks who, when it comes time to scare people, can't think of anything more frightening than opening a trap door. When was the last time you stared against your will at a movie screen, dying to bolt but determined to stay? Where, oh where, are the beloved ghouls of yesteryear?
Henry Sheehan is film critic for the Orange County Register.